In a year's time, we run about 12,000 different incident calls within Ellis County. The patrol runs about 300,000 miles within in the county as a general rule. And we run about 50,000 miles on transports.
The Ellis County Sheriff's Department is a multifaceted organization that does a lot more than you might imagine. Sheriff Scott Brown stops by to discuss the department on this episode of the Post Podcast.
We've had some changes as we were talking prior to coming on the air a little bit, and we've had some people retire, and we're pretty fortunate we've been able to fill those positions with really no problem. So I'm super excited about that. Even at today's, as tough as it is to find people to apply, we have not experienced that within Ellis County, and we're very fortunate for that. So
you may be the only agency that hasn't had that problem.
Yeah, I don't know what we're doing, but whatever we're doing right. So, I'm going to give a shout out to our commissioners who saw the need and have raised the salaries and continue to improve upon our benefits, and so that's attractive to them. So a shout out to our commissioners for seeing that need, and that has helped us dramatically. So I think that was a big factor. But hey, we'll take it either way. You guys can give us credit. I don't whatever. But it's all good. So we've got spots filled. So yeah. So today we'll just talk a little bit about the sheriff's office. You know, I know every week there's things run and those, but people are busy and they don't always read, but maybe they're listening. So we're about 41 staff within the sheriff's office. Of course, the sheriff, under sheriff. We have two lieutenants, one in the jail and one on the road. We have the deputy, three sergeants in the jail and two on the road. And then we have two clerk that work in the front, and some of you may know them. You may have spoken with them on the phone. And then we have a sergeant. Of course, I can't forget my road deputies, and there's, I got to count them, 11. And then we have the remainder is our jail staff, which no one usually sees unless something bad happens, that work, and they're behind the scenes. And last but not least, I cannot forget my courthouse deputies that work there. And again, unless you make it to court for some reason, you may not know that they're there even. So there's a lot of behind the scenes thing. So in a year's time, we run about 12,000 different incident calls within Ellis County. The patrol runs about 300,000 miles within the county as a general rule. And we run about 50,000 miles on transports, meaning we run, across the state of Kansas, whether we're going to Larner to take somebody or picking someone up in another facility that was being held on a warrant. So that aspect, we're pretty busy in that side. And one of the things that a lot of people see us, they see us driving around, and a big part of our job is to work for the courts. We're servants of the courts, the sheriff's office is. And so we serve about 3,400 papers a year, which doesn't sound like a lot, but keep in mind that a lot of people are busy and they're not home. So we go back on
maybe
average.
Maybe avoiding you guys.
Yeah, well, some of them might. Yes, yeah, some of them might. So on average, we're running back to the residents about on average 3 to 4 times. So it's about 3 before we actually make contact with that person to get them that paper to show up in court or whatever it might be, litigation type of things. So that keeps us pretty busy in that sense. So that's where some of that 300,000 miles comes from for our patrol guys. Last year, our jail staff performed 1,811 fingerprints. Booked into our jail a little over 16,000 people came through our jail. That may have been there for 5 minutes or not, but for whatever reason, but that's about what it is. We have got inmates within our facility that are going on almost 2 years or a little longer because of the process. We've got 19 inmates in there right now, and those 19 inmates, which are some of our longest ones, they cost the taxpayers about $23,000 for us to house them with it for a year. We keep pretty busy on the backside. What do you got questions on? So I know I could throw all kinds of numbers at you, and people are like, wow, I didn't even know all that. But it's really about educating the public and those types of things. And I guess I could actually add, we actually house out of county quite a bit. And so last year we had about 84 people we housed out of county, which you know, cost us about $70,000, the taxpayers of Ellis County, just because some people may look at our numbers within our jail and that, and they may say, hey, well, the jail holds 72. That's our max capacity within the actual upstairs of the jail. How come you're running 65? And the reason being is because, believe it or not, people don't get along. And so sometimes our cells are built to be double bunked. And so if we have a problem person, well, we have to remove somebody from that. We can't put them in that hostile situation, create problems. So in doing so, we lose a bed. And so when somebody sees 65 or maybe 63, it's probably because we have some problem with some people up there, and we have to isolate those people to ensure that other people aren't being battered, et cetera. And so we end up housing out on a regular basis. Currently, I think we have 3 out of county right now. And those roughly run about $40 a day to house those inmates out. So, people are listening to this are probably like, wow, had no idea. So I think information's good for our public to know.
Absolutely. You know, and as you're going through all this, my thinking is, like, my goodness, there's so much going on that probably the average Joe wouldn't know you guys even did. And it's such a multifaceted organization. You know, you think about the chases and all the stuff out in the county that you guys do, going rustling up the cattle as they've escaped. But that's just like, it sounds like just a small piece of the job.
And it really is. One of our largest tasks, and I said it earlier, is working for the courts. That's what we do. But inmate care is just a massive thing, and it's an expensive thing for us. It's a necessity. We need to do it. But that's a huge part of where our budget goes also, is care of our inmates, make sure that they're being taken care of and meet federal and state guidelines. So yeah.
Yeah, talking about the housing out of Ellis County, you know, is there any plans or any thinking in the works down the road to expand that jail facility? I know it hasn't been that long since we did that remodel down there, but...
Yeah, you know, I don't know. We've kind of talked a little bit. I've had the opportunity to meet with our new commissioners, our two new commissioners, and spent about an hour and a half with one and two with the other, and we talked a little bit. There's some potential changes with some things going on, and I don't think it's not like voodoo. We're not going to talk about it. You know, it comes down to dollars and cents and whether we can afford it and whether taxpayers can do it. And I think we really need to look at a long-term solution for this. And whether it's occurs when I'm in law enforcement or not, it's going to need to occur. And we may need to be looking at a more of a regional type of setting where the surrounding counties, that their jails are old and perhaps they're just not up to where they need to be. And maybe it's a regional thing where it falls within Ellis County or another county, and we pay a percentage to take them there, and they're manned by that county staff or whatever it might be. And so those are options that I think are viable for us to look at. And, you know, if it was housed in Ellis County, that would save, you know, we'd be able to pay some salaries with those other counties housing, but we'd have to definitely have buy-in of the surrounding counties and that in order to make that work, because we definitely don't want to, you know, a $30 million building sitting there and we don't have any out-of-county people to bring in to help offset some of that cost. So I think there'd have to be buy-in from counties and definitely a little bit of a study before we would pull that trigger, you know. So that's a pretty daunting task, but I think it can be done.
Yeah. And if you're just joining us, we're just talking. It's just an idea, just thinking, not in anything in the works or planned at this time.
Yeah,
anyway.
Absolutely not. We're just chatting and you know, it's good to have future vision, whether it happens or not. And again, it's really not up to me. It's not really up to the commissioners. It's up to the public if something was to happen, because the public pays the taxes and they would be the ones that would have to say, yeah, this is a great idea, or no, it's not. And we respect that and we deal with it and we move on because we're problem solvers. So,
you know, you mentioned the future and the thinking about down the road. I'm curious, you know, as law enforcement kind of grapples with some of the more, let's put it this way, some of the less pleasant things that you guys have to do and some of the repercussions that come from that. You know, are there any conversations going on in the Sheriff's Department about, you know, analyzing and thinking about the way you guys do things?
You know, it's always a revolving thing. You know, society controls some of that. And what I mean by that is, you know, years ago, and, you know, there was verbal judo, which was the buzzword at that. Now it's de-escalation. And when the public asks for training and they have strong feelings about it, law enforcement complies. We want to have the best training. We don't want that personal conflict with that. We want to de-escalate. We want people to go, because anytime we have a physical altercation, there's a good chance that we're going to get hurt or that person, and we try to avoid that. And so I think the public as a whole, unless it's a true safety issue for officers, they really detail how we're going to handle, or they have some say in how we do that, because their voice is very loud and we listen to them. And so I think as law enforcement continues to evaluate how we're dealing with situations like pursuits and those types of things, and weigh the potential risk versus the outcome, I think that we will see those. And I can tell you, I've been in it for 28 years, and I've seen a difference from day one to current. Now, I will tell you that I think I've seen more of a change within the last 10 years than I did prior to that. I think because of some large cases, and we won't get into those, that occurred. And so law enforcement has sat back and evaluated some of those situations and learned from the mistakes and the good, the good and the bad. So I think we're evolving, and I think we have to continue to do that. But again, we always have to weigh that officer safety situation and deal with it the best we can. So.
Absolutely. A tough job. And you do it so well.
Well, you know, we try and we make sure our people have training. So I appreciate the vote of confidence, and I really enjoyed this conversation. And I want to just add, first of all, everybody watch out for scams. If you have any questions, please give us a call. And also, if you have any questions in regards to this, and please, no one get up concerned about the jail conversation. It was just a conversation.
We're not spending any money.
Yeah, we're not spending any money. Please feel free to reach out to me at the sheriff's office. I'll be happy to talk to you. If you guys have a question that you think is valid or concern, by all means, it doesn't hurt to ask a question. If we don't know the answer, we'll find it for you. So, and you know, I just want everyone to be safe and enjoy the weather today.